opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on The Paranormal View.
And welcome, everybody, right here to The Paranormal View on the ParaX Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us this weekend, and hope you're having a great weekend. Thank you for stopping by. If you are not here in the chat room and you're listening from somewhere else around the world, feel free to come over to para-x.com, click on the live chat button, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. You'll be able to interact with them and interact with us and ask questions of our guest. And the way you do that is you can send us a private chat to either Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, or co-host Cat, or myself, and we will get those questions right over to our guest. And if you're listening from somewhere else and you're not here in the chat room and you have a question, you can still ask questions by sending a question to theparanormalview@gmail.com and just put question on there and we'll get that answered. And we have other places also that you can send email or questions to. Where are those at, Kat?
You can also message us via Twitter. Our Twitter account is at ParaView Radio. And also you can message us on Facebook. I am monitoring both of those message programs on social media live.
All right. And tonight, of course, we have with us Kat Kloko.
Hello, everyone.
And we have with us Barbara Duncan.
Howdy, folks.
And we have Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
Now, out on the West Coast, I don't know what it's like in Los Angeles.
Roasty.
Is it roasty?
Oh, my God. I was at Cinegear at Paramount Studios yesterday and briefly today. Yesterday, it was over 90 degrees, and I just got roasted.
Hmm. Well, Barbara said it's pretty nice where she's at.
It's a lovely 66 degrees. Nice cool breeze.
And what about the East Coast, Kat?
We are coasting at a breezy 81 degrees today in Rhode Island.
Yeah, it's about what it got to here. It's cooled off some now with the storms going through.
Yeah, it's very, very nice right now, and it really smells like the saltiness of the ocean. But not like the gross decaying fish saltiness of the ocean. It's the pleasant one that you want. And you put like laundry scents. Like that kind of.
So really that's nice today. I guess that's why H.P. Lovecraft wrote about fish being so scary.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I live next to a bunch of quahoggers, like the little clam huts where the fishermen come in the morning all the clams. You don't want to be downwind of that sometimes.
Ew.
All right. We got a great guest tonight and a whole lot of topics that they are going to be talking about. And, of course, Jeff and Barbara and Kat each has a whole ton of questions to ask. So, We're going to go ahead and let Jeff introduce our guest.
Yes, I just got distracted because Nyla just DM'd me. Tonight we have returning guest June Lundgren, who is a psychic, medium, animal communicator, healer, nurse, and international author with over 40 years of experience in the paranormal field. Coming from a long line of women with special gifts, as a child, June communicated with spirits, animals, and angels while living with her grandparents, of which her grandmother was a psychic medium who helped tutor June in the use of her gifts. June has authored 4 books, Medium's Guide to the Paranormal, Paranormal Encounters, Paranormal Encounters Book 2, and her recent book from last year, The Dark Side of the Paranormal. And she'll be talking about a new book coming up. And our welcome, our fellow Whovian friend, June Lundgren.
Thank you for having me, guys. I always enjoy being here.
Well, we're glad to have you. We was talking before the show, and I was asking, you know, Barbara and Jeff what it was like there, but you're saying it's kind of like a little bit different from where you're at.
Yeah, it's 104 on my deck, so. It's, you know, we're having one of those days. It's supposed to be the same tomorrow, so.
And you're from Oregon?
Yeah, I live up in Oregon City. I live on a farm in a rural Oregon City. But I was raised in Kansas, so I love the heat. It's only my husband and son who don't like it much.
I'll bet Sasquatch isn't too happy with it either.
I'm sure.
Now, Sasquatch is swimming in the local, like, watering hole, so.
Probably, like Holly. Yeah.
Well, we have all kinds of different topics that we wanted to talk about tonight, including about your books. But I'm gonna let, because I know Barbara's got some pretty good topics she wanted to talk about, and so does Kat. And I'm just gonna let Barbara go ahead and start out on talking about stuff.
Well, all righty then. I'll just jump right into it because Joan, I got your book on Kindle on the paranormal stories.
Oh, she didn't write it about Kindle, I guess.
No. I hope not. That would be rather dull, actually.
Yeah.
And I've always been fascinated by vortexes and what people think they are. And reading in your book on your story on vortexes, and a lot of them seem to be centered around water or swimming pools. Is that normally the case?
Not always, about 50-50. Water adds to the availability of energy to sustain the vortexes. There are different, you know, they have one called, locally called the Oregon Vortex. It's called that now. When I was younger, I went there when I was 12, and it was called the Original House of Mystery at that time. It's in Gold Hill, Oregon.
Yeah.
And as a child, you know, I saw the spirits coming and going through the vortex. And to me, it was quite amazing. And of course, nobody else could see it in my family. So, but it was quite interesting to watch. And then I went back in 2008, I took my son and my husband, and we were coming back from LA, driving back, and then we stopped there, and it's the same, you know, the vortex is still there, and, you know, birds aren't around it, you know, planes can't fly over it because their instrumentation goes crazy, but there are different kinds, you know, there's vortexes, there's portals, there's a couple of vortexes in the Shanghai tunnels in downtown Portland.
Really?
Yeah. There's big one, and then there's a small one.
Don't want to get lost down there, then.
No, it brings a lot of energy in there. Unfortunately, they had somebody unauthorized by the person that's in charge of, you know, the historical society. Unbeknownst to him, there were people going in the back of the tunnel, opening up portals, doing Ouija board and seances back there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That was a smart move.
Yeah, it did not. It opened up portal and it let in the dark one. So there was three demons there, and I removed those. But I told him, I said, I'm going to close it because somebody's been doing, you know. And he says, yeah, I just found out about it. The poor guy had been getting his legs shredded. Ah. And, you know, people had been getting attacked and stuff. And I told him, I said, it needs to be shut. You know, I need to get rid of these guys, and it needs to be shut.
Mm. So just begging to be made into a movie.
Yeah.
So is it strongly elemental? It seems to be like woods, water, well, Alcatraz, I think, is probably a larger vortex, and that's a volcanic area, right, too. So,
yeah, a lot of it has to do with, you know, like, it's like, you know, the Devil's Triangle. That's a huge, huge vortex. and the electromagnetic energy coming off of it is outrageous. It's, but yeah, there's it, like I said, anything to feed it, you know, quartz, the elements, the water, you know, any kind of volcanic seismic activity. It's just everywhere.
Now, you have been able to see things and communicate with the spirits and everything ever since you were at a young age. How old were you when you started being able to do this, and how did it come about?
My grandmother's, my mom was bipolar. So she kind of dumped me off on my grandparents when I was a baby, right after I was born. And my grandmother noticed me looking at the angelic beings that she could see. And so she knew right away that I had the gifts. It runs in our family, all the women. And so as soon as I could verbalize and understand, she started teaching me, you know, the good ones from the bad ones and what to watch for and, you know, how to communicate with animals, you know, that type of thing. So I grew up for the first 5 years doing that and having, you know, her coach me and teach me. And there's so many different things that she taught me. Unfortunately, I went back to live with my mother after that. So my mother did not allow communication or my gifts at all.
Now, did she know that her mom was able to do things like that?
Oh, yeah. My mom had the ability, but she turned herself away from it. And, you know, she turned her back on God. When you do that, you lose a lot of different things.
So then they didn't want you, after you went back to your mom, they didn't want you doing any of that. Were you still able to see things, though, from...
Oh, yeah. I could still see it. I just had to keep quiet about it and, like, the animal communication, because we always had dogs. Mm. So I was able to communicate with them, but, of course, I had to do it where she wouldn't know and she couldn't see me or anything. So because, you know, she would, like, you know, take a baseball bat to me, so... Literally, so you learned early not to do that, not to let her see it.
Wow. Talking about communicating with animals, when you communicate with animals, do you do it like in a mental type thing, or do you actually speak to them?
It's actually telepathic.
Yeah.
It's like when I communicate with spirits, it's all done telepathically. Some people get, you know, visions. Some people get pictures. Some people get, you know, the energy. Some people get, like my son, who's an empath, gets their feelings. I get, like, full-on conversations. Once they get over the first shock of somebody, a human, communicating with them, they're okay with it. They're not too sure about what's...
It's very similar to the first several episodes of the first season of Ghost Whisperer, where usually the ghost would just be like, you can see us?
Yeah, kind of like that. That's a whole other situation. You know, they wait till the final thing of that. I used to watch that. And then finally it's like she finally realizes that there are spirits all around her. It's like, duh. You know, all these seasons, and you don't figure that one out.
Wow. Yeah, we got a kitty cat that has started soiling the carpet, you might say. Mm-hmm. And we put pads down and everything else, and we take her to the box and make her go, and but she still does it on the pads, and sometimes it leaks over onto the carpet. Have you
changed her litter yet recently?
You mean type? No, we've always bought the same kind of litter.
Yeah, well, she's,
that's a start right there.
Yeah, she's becoming more sensitive to it, and she has a lot of anxiety, and she doesn't like, you know, how some people, you know, like mushrooms for most of their life, and then they decide that they don't like it. Well, it's that way as she gets older, the sensitivity of her paws. She's showing me her feet and telling me that it's like picking them up and shaking them.
Uh-huh.
So I would say she wants something softer.
She wants something softer.
Yeah, it's kind of irritating her between the pads.
Right.
Yeah, right there is where it's really irritating her.
Hmm. We'll have to check into that then.
Yeah, and the and her anxiety. I'm telling her that she doesn't need to have any.
Yeah, she's an older kitty cat, and she's had bladder problems and stuff like that last few years. But okay, we'll try and do that then.
Yeah, have you got her on the feed the food that has for cats for the
urinary tract infection?
Yeah, urinary tract infections.
Yeah, well, that's what we feed them.
Good, good.
Is that a form of IAMS or which brand?
I think it's Health Science, isn't it?
Okay.
Science Diet.
Something like that. Yeah, pro choice or something like that.
Yeah.
So, June, when did you discover that you could communicate with animals?
My grandma always had cats. And they were always, you know, would always come around me and sleep by me and rub up against me. And I could hear them. And I thought everybody could hear them. And when my grandma said something about, what are you doing? And I said, well, the kitty wants to go outside, you know. And she's like, how do you know the kitty wants to go outside? It said, because she told me. And grandma's like, okay, all right. So, you know, she's not, my grandma was one of those lovely people that, you know, said that she used to tell me there are more things in heaven and earth, a ratio, you know, than our thought dreamt of in our philosophy.
Yeah, like, that was original.
Yeah, she loved Shakespeare. And she said, there's more than we know about out there. So keep your mind open and you can never know what you can do until you try it. So that's what I did.
But also, I think it's interesting that she would wonder how you knew the cat wanted to go outside, even though, yes, you're an animal communicator. And to an extent, I kind of am. Mm-hmm. But mostly, you know the cat. Like, I've raised four cats from kittens. Uh-huh. And I've got two of my primaries, like Pooka and Sprite, who are right here lolling out on the bed. And then I've got the two ginger cats, Oscar and Oliver, who I also raised as kittens, who are so laid back it makes my cats look like they're continually anxious. And my guys are just big, you know, blobs. And but it's interesting because I look at them and I can tell what they're thinking or what they want to do and when they're going to get it and when they're considering getting into trouble, which is tends to be a lot. I can sometimes anticipate when they're going to do something and I can stop them.
Yeah.
And they, like,
yeah, you know, if you're very in tune with them. Yeah. I was 3 at the time when this happened.
Oh, wow.
So it's like my grandma says, okay, so we have to, you know, work on really making it stronger. So that's what we worked at.
So I'm curious, is it like a verbal communication that you can understand? They're just simply saying, I want to go out.
Yeah, it's just like I'm talking to you. It's like I get full-on conversation, which is kind of, you know, strange to them that I can communicate in such a way that they can understand and I can understand them. But, you know, once they get used to that, it's no problem. Then they open up and start telling me about whatever, all their problems, where they hurt, where, you know, what they want. I'd like more of this. My back end hurts and the nerves are getting bad and, you know. The type of thing.
Yeah, mine just communicates by biting. It's easier that way.
I have a barn cat. He kind of comes and goes as he pleases, but I have mostly dogs. At one time I had 8. My husband and I got married. We both had 4-legged children, so we had a blended family.
So on that, have you noticed a difference between what cats are thinking about and communicating to you versus what dogs are communicating to you?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, like people, each one of them is an individual, and they have their own pet peeves and their own, you know, bucket list, so to speak. They know what they want, what their priorities are. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, ever since I was little, you know, animals have always come to me. And it's the same with my son. He was in communication from the moment he saw a picture of Keiko. And he's still in communication after he died.
Wow.
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 That's neat. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, dogs are from Mars, cats are from Venus. And
yeah.
I think they kind of do have a different approach to life.
They do. They do. Dogs are all about, you know, loyalty and having a nice soft bed to lay on and plenty of food. And cats are like, don't bother me. when I consent to give you my attention.
Then I will, huh?
Then I will.
Feed me cheeseburgers, human. Yeah.
Now.
I have a great photo I use on a lot of hashtag games on Twitter. And it's just this cat sprawled out and he's facing the camera and has a really, you know, just a kind of grumpy look on his face. It's not grumpy cat, but it's just a kind of, and his great little in caption is, "I'm bored and it's your fault."
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Cats do get bored more easily than dogs do.
Yeah, we got one male cat, and I mean, he's just inquisitive about everything.
Yeah.
And the two cats get along okay, but he always likes to try and attack her. She's old, and I mean, you know,
her energy's weak. Yeah.
Yeah. So she'll growl at him half the time.
Good for her. Slap him upside the head.
So how is it, do you think, that animals tend to see the other side more than we do?
Because they're like children. They're okay. Open to it. They're receptive. They're closer to God than we are. And they don't have the baggage that we have. We have to think everything. You know, we see something and automatically we see an apparition and automatically our brain starts kicking in and say, "No, you didn't see that. No, nah, you didn't see that. It's a figment of your imagination. It was just something out of the reflection." Dogs, it's like, "Yeah, okay, hi."
So it's a non-filter thing.
Yeah. They don't have that filter, but they'll tell you when it's something they don't like, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be in the bedroom watching TV, and both cats will be on the bed. And all of a sudden, because you can look right out our door into the big middle room, and all of a sudden they'll sit up and they'll be looking out there toward the middle room, and I'm looking, I don't see anything. And so I don't really know if the house just creaked or the wind blew and something happened or if there was actually something out there.
Yeah, they hear something or they see something beyond our perception.
Yeah.
Just like the dogs do. But I don't have that issue with my home because it's well protected. So I don't even get the good ones in here unless they ask permission. And I like to keep it that way. This is my sanctuary.
Yeah. I'll put a sign up saying no trespassers allowed.
Yep. That's basically what I do.
Yeah, it's really a good idea to put up those walls. Nothing yep. gets in that way, even if they do try to follow you.
Yeah, I have my entire property is black salted, so I don't get anything negative. The good ones will kind of try to hang out, but they know better than that.
I would have figured black salt would be like pepper.
Nope. I wish it was that easy. I make black salt that God gave me the recipe to protect the people when I went in to remove demons. Mm. It works quite well.
I know we've had a couple people on before who talks about doing protection around your property, and one of the things that they had said was you put a nail in each corner of your property. Is that supposed to work also?
That's what people say. it'd be like putting crystals in all four corners.
Yeah.
Or even laundry blue balls back in back in Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Laundry blue balls.
little laundry blue balls. I never heard of them until I went to, I started learning at Spellbound, and my first metaphysics teacher, Vinny Gaglione, said, I'm like, what is that? And there are these little blue balls that you put in with the laundry. I still don't even know what they are,
oh,
how they work.
Packets of laundry, soap?
Yeah. No, they're little small things. They're like less, like they're barely the width of a dime, but they're little balls.
I never heard of them.
Do you put them in the dryer or in the washer?
I'm not sure.
In the washer.
I have never heard of these.
No,
I know about the dryer balls. Those are larger, like the size of a racquetball.
Right.
These, so that's immediately what I thought of.
I had a friend from Brooklyn. She was telling me about them.
Huh.
She said, I put them in a washer. It helps to scrub the clothes.
Huh. I thought it was like little chalk or something, but... Yeah.
It helps to massage the, she says, it helps to massage the clothes. I'm like, whatever.
And apparently to some, to ward off evil spirits, if you put them in your car.
Yeah, only in your mind.
Get all the stains out. Blood's really hard to get out.
And you learn things here on the Paranormal View. So tune in every week.
Yep. Cold salt water will take blood out.
Oh, that's true.
Paranormal laundry tips.
Yeah.
That's good.
There you go.
Being a nurse for 40 years, yes.
Cold
water, huh? Yep.
Oh, yeah. Getting blood out of a nursing uniform, that's always a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, thank God I don't have to work white anymore.
and ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
Those were always the worst.
Yeah. Yep.
Matter of fact, I got some blue jeans that I've got where I've got pin marks across the leg and stuff were messed up with my pin, and they've never came out. So
they say hairspray works for that.
Hairspray?
Yeah.
Seems to me that would glue it in.
Well, that's what they say. They have this new stuff called Insta Mark or something like that. It removes ink.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I got a bottle and it does.
I can imagine hairspray being pretty good at getting, like, color out, because one of the things you shouldn't use if you dye your hair is hairspray, because it just strips, especially if you're a redhead, it just strips the color right out of the strands.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Okay.
And I found them.
Yeah.
You found them.
She lucky blue balls for purifying your laundry.
She
I had no idea.
I get a sorry, we couldn't find your page with a very cute little dog on it. From Amazon.
Yeah, I was looking at Amazon was saying those big plastic balls he would put stuff into, but that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
These look like little blue chalk, looked like they were made of little blue chalk balls.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, researching or looking it up on Amazon, I found the Lucky Blue Ball Pack.
Yeah.
£1. Interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, do want to remind everybody, if you do have questions, you can private chat them to either Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, co-host Cat, or myself, and we will get those answered for you. I believe, Cat, we had a question.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Sherry, wanted to know if you could read her daughter, which is a shark, in animal communication.
Of course you can.
Okay. I wasn't sure how we needed to set this up. So
I draw the line at insects because they have very, very...
They have hive minds.
They have a very minute attention span. It goes like really quick. It's like really can't deal with that.
Were you talking to me?
Yeah.
Spiders, hate spiders.
Oh, who doesn't? Well, most people. I mean, there are sure people who'd like them, but
generally, I'm fine with them, except for there's just too many. The population's too high in my backyard.
Yeah.
So I've had to start culling the population.
There you go.
But I wasn't sure if people were interested, June, for you to read their animals. Would you be able to do that tonight?
I usually need a picture.
Okay. I was wondering how, like, different mediums and psychics work different ways, so I wasn't sure how... Yeah.
Or talking to the person.
Okay.
I had a lady that called me for, sent me an email for an appointment, and she lives in, about a couple hours away from where I live, and she's asking me about her cat. And so we talked on the phone, and I told her, I said, well, you need, he's missing, he's grieving for the one that just died. I told her, I said, go to your nearest rescue. There'll be a black cat, and she'll answer to the name of Susan. And she'll only answer to Susan. So when you find that cat, that's the mate for him. Aww. And sure enough, a week later, she went down, and one answered to Susan, and they get along just fabulously.
Huh.
Well, it just depends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like, now I'm a matchmaker for cats. Okay.
Now, can you tell my cat Moo to quit biting?
Yeah, that and my puppy, she likes to play bite on people, but she's not a puppy anymore.
Yeah, you need to, one way to break that is to squeal really loud.
Like, yeah, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work with her, then you need to communicate with
her.
It's
more like, hey, I'm getting it done.
Yeah, And
then you need communication, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one-on-one communication.
Yeah. Moo, it's like biting. You don't like it? Good, it works.
Let me bite harder.
Yeah.
I've got your attention now.
Well, as I was saying with my two cats, they're getting used to the other cats, and they can go into the main house when sort of alpha cat Johnny is outside. But my guys get really wound up because the gingers come in and they hang out during the day. Because they love me, they see me as their dad as well. And my cats tolerate them, but they hiss a lot at them. They don't get into any scuffles. And, yeah, I'm talking about you. And what's really weird is when the gingers get kicked out of the room and the door's closed, sometimes my cats will be so wound up they'll hiss at each other, which is odd because they were, brother and sister raised together as from dust ball size.
Yeah, they're just redirecting their frustration.
Yeah.
Now, your son also communicates with animals, and he communicates with the whale up at Keiko. Yeah.
Yeah. He's still in communication with him, but he sees angels like we see people.
Okay.
And he's done that since he was really little.
I try not to see people. Oh, wait.
Yeah. But he used to see thousands of them at the same time, hundreds of thousands. And they used to annoy him. And now I said, well, are you still seeing them? He's 26 now.
Okay.
And he goes, yeah, they just drive me crazy some days. Hmm. But it's not the amount that he did before. When he was little, he would come in and try to sleep in the bed. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? Before he could communicate very well. Finally, at about 5, he grabbed a hold of my hand and he says, see what I see. And he put my hand on his head, and I actually saw what he saw. I said, oh, those blue balls, they're just angels. I told them, I said, you need to morph into something he can identify with, because the blue balls are scaring him. Blue light.
Put them on the corners of the property then too.
Yeah, well, I got enough of those around.
So he sees them almost like orbs as opposed to standard biblical angelics or Nick Cage.
That's how they first appeared to him. And I told him to morph into people, what we believe angels look like. And they did that, and he was better about it. And now they're back to, of course, being blue orbs, and they just annoy him.
Wow.
Nothing like prankster angels.
Yeah.
aliens. They're all around.
So is it possible those are what show up that aren't the dust orbs in photos?
Yeah. If you see blue orbs, they're usually angelic. It's a low energy manifestation. I did a clearing on a house, and it's on my Google Drive, and you'll see there were two archangels with me, and you'll see their orbs, and then you'll see the demon over in the corner. And you know, they're just, and you know, and it was shot with my cell phone.
But what did the demon look like?
Black. Shadowy thing. Black shadowy thing.
Okay.
You can see the black shadow move across the wall.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to ask, you use spirit guides, correct, when you're working?
No, I use archangels.
Oh. And
Michael's always with me.
Okay.
When I do removals, Michael's with me. When I have to do anything demonic, he's with me, and sometimes Gabe comes with me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm doing a reading or something like that, then I use my guides and guardians.
Okay. Yeah, do they communicate with whomever your readings, guides, and guardians?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And do animals also have guides or guardians?
Yep.
Or are they just good the way they are?
Each one of them has at least one.
Okay.
And they have they'd like to guide them through their, you know, their lifetime. And
mm-hmm.
And they come back. You know, I had a Doberman that was named JT. It stood for Just Trouble. He was 6 foot from nose to tail and 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's what they called the gladiator Doberman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a gentle giant. But he told me when he was dying, I told him it was okay to leave. And he told me he would come back. And then 5 years later, he came back as this little 19-pound Cocker Spaniel with an attitude.
Wow.
And he's still with me.
I think we're going to go ahead and take our first break. See how we're going to do it tonight. I think Barbara's going to take us out, and I'll get Kat to bring us back.
Okay.
So, Barbara, you can do your thing now.
I sure will. Folks, you're listening to The Paranormal View here on Para X Radio. Tonight, we have a very special guest, June Lundgren, and we will be right back after a few messages.
From the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series and Workplace Spells comes a book for all lovers of pets, Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. Learn how to choose your next pet according to their astrological sign. Explore animal superstitions. Learn 25 magic spells for your pets and get instructions on creating your own spells. Learn who to call upon and what to use to cast these spells. Include special chapters by Reverend Tim Shaw, Psychic to the Stars Kenny Kingston, Psychic Medium Victoria Gross, Animal Communicator Dinah Roseberry, and Shaman Willie Windwalker Gibson. This is the perfect book for all animal lovers. Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. For details on how to get your copy of this amazing new book, go to www.schifferbooks.com or check out Marla Brooks online at www.marlabrooks.com. This would make the perfect gift for the animal lover in your life. Go to www.schifferbooks.com or ask about it at your local bookstore.
So, Tim, around here at Para X, we're considered oldies because we've been here so long, right?
You know, yeah, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with oldies. In fact, you know what? I really love oldies.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean, it kind of takes me back to a time when my cauldron had training wheels and the Black Cat Lounge was called the Black Kitten Lounge. Sometimes I miss the good old days.
Sis, there's no need to miss them at all, because all you have to do is turn on and listen to Rock with the Shock.
Rock with the Who?
No, little sis. No, not the Who, the Shock.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator.
My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond. Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Great. Jeff.
Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para-X Radio.
Hi, I'm Rosalyn Bound, and you are listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock. The Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics, a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions, big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Para-X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm Kat Cloco, one of the hosts of the Paranormal View. Tonight, we also have our hosts Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan with me. We're also joined by June Lundgren, a psychic medium and an author of many, many books. And June, we have a question for you from our email. And it regards Harambe the gorilla, who was shot last week at the Cincinnati Zoo. And Jeff from Australia asks, just wondering if your guest happened to catch the news about Harambe the gorilla being shot, and if she was able to pick up anything from watching that.
The term is actually murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would not have hurt the child. That's what I got from him. He wouldn't have hurt the child.
Yeah. All the witnesses said that, you know, it was protecting the child.
Yep.
To an extent. I mean, he was dragging him through the water and stuff, but they said with his size, the force, he doesn't understand how strong he is. And he said at any time, just anything could have actually, he could have, you know, not doing it intentionally could have really hurt the child. And I think that's what they was trying to keep from happening. But he shouldn't have been in the pit to start with.
Yeah, I
think it boils down to that. So yep. the feelings that you got, June, were just that he wasn't going to hurt the little boy.
Yeah, he said I wouldn't hurt him.
Yeah,
he would have done the same thing with one of his children. He would have, you know, got it away and out of danger.
I was going to say I've seen parents treat their kids like that in some department stores.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Nursemaid's elbow.
Excellent. Kat, I know you had a bunch of questions too.
Yeah, I do. They're kind of wandering off our topic and going over to more of the dark side. And because, like I said before the show, that we haven't had anyone actually speak about when you're ghost hunting or investigating and you see shadow people, or what if you run into something that's demonic? What do you do? Like, who do you call? And it's not the Ghostbusters, guys.
Or the ghost hunters, for that matter.
Right.
But they usually end up calling me. There are several groups around that know what I do, and they end up contacting me to go out and see what's happening. Mm-hmm. But I usually know before I even go out there what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's just an instinctual thing. Mm-hmm. And I know if it's, you know, earthbound, or if it's a demonic, or if it's a shadow person, or whatever it is. Or that's why I wrote my last book there, The Dark Side of the Paranormal, because so many people had questions and things like that. And I thought, well, I really need to answer them, because I've been answering them for the last 20 years.
Right.
You know, so it's like it has in it about the things that will protect you against negatives in the physical world, and the things that are a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and I'm all about empowering people to protect themselves.
Right.
A lot of people, the first thing out of their mouth is it's negative. They always think it's negative.
Right.
It's your grandmother, for God's sake. She's not negative. You know, uh-huh. Things like that. And it's just something that people just have this fear of it, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people and that, over the years, that do different kinds of, you know, I've talked to Wiccans, I've talked to Reiki masters and things like that. And, you know, it's just the more, you know, the people say, well, you know, it'll draw them to you if you talk about them, if you read about them, you know, anything like that. But, you know, if they want to find you, they don't need you to do that. You know, I mean, they'll find you.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, when you go something like that, it's nothing but just a ghost. It's annoying. It's like, come on, buzz off, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the dark in life, so in death, so
yeah. Some people are just nasty in life and nasty in death, unfortunately.
Well, mm-hmm. Now if you're not a sensitive and you're not into being a ghost hunter or anything like that, but you see something, a mm-hmm. dark shadow or something like that,
yeah,
just telling it to go away, leave you alone, does that work?
That's not gonna cut it. Not if it's a shadow person or a lesser, what I call a lesser demon. They don't, or a minion. They don't listen to you. It's like, you know, they laugh at you.
Minions barely speak English. Oh wait,
not those minions, Jeff.
Those too, not those kind. Unfortunately, darn it, those are cute ones. I'll give you an example. My husband and I went down a couple years ago to the coast for Thanksgiving because my cousin's husband was in poor health, and we decided to take Thanksgiving to him. And we stayed at our timeshare, which is in Newport, Oregon. And I was upstairs watching TV in the bedroom, and my husband and son were downstairs. And I had this, felt this cold chill, so I knew something negative was around. And I hear my husband bellowing from downstairs, "Get down here!" so I haul Buns downstairs, and my husband said, pointing at this at a shadow person, says, "What is that?" I said, "What do you see?" He says, "I see a little girl. I can see through her." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I see." I said, "I see a shadow person." And the minute I said that, the thing just like flew out through the French doors and was gone. I told my husband, I said, "That's a shadow person." He says, "I don't want to see it ever again." I said, "Welcome to my world."
Yeah, it took him a while to start believing that you saw stuff.
Yeah, my husband is one of those people, if you can't touch it, feel it, or see it, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. He's an auditor, very left-brained. Mm-hmm. But since he's been married to me, he's seen some things he'd rather not see.
Well, on the topic of shadow people, We actually have a comment from our chat room from Dropnavod, and she says, are all shadow people bad? The one I saw as a child didn't scare me. It was peeking around an open door, and it was daylight.
Yeah, they're not skulking around at night. You can see them in the daytime. The thing is, a ghost, an earthbound spirit, can show itself as anything it wants you to see it as. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy may have been, you know, bald, fat, short guy, you know, in life and never got any respect. So he's like, you know, I'm dead now. I can make myself look like a 6 foot tall shadow man or 7 foot tall shadow man. So that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to tell a real shadow person because when you encounter one of them, you get cold on the inside, which has nothing to do with the outside, nothing to do with the ambient temperature outside.
Right.
It's a feeling inside. And they always travel by themselves. They like their own territory. They're not like demons. Demons travel in packs, like dogs. But the shadow people like their own territory, and they don't want anybody else in there.
Mm-hmm. Like gangs.
Well, no, shadow people would be the opposite of a gang. They're a lone
right.
wolf.
They like to travel by themselves.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a difference between ghosts, which we see as a black shadow mass, and the actual entity known as a shadow person.
Right.
And does Hat Man fall into a shadow person?
He is a shadow person.
Okay. Huh.
Because they can make you see them as they wish to be perceived. And a lot of people, the same way with demons, you know, they will look into your mind and see what you fear the most. Mm-hmm. And they will turn into something that, you know, that emanates, that looks like that, but only 10 times worse, to scare the living tar right out of you. I mean, I hate spiders, and they always try to show me spiders, and I'm like, really? Buzz off.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that I don't like is the entity known as the Creeper. Have you run into one of those?
Oh, yeah.
spiders, yeah, those are natural, and they're just trying to
eat things.
Be alive. Yeah. They're benefiting the ecosystem somehow. They've just startled you. Creepers, on the other hand. Mm-hmm. Ah!
I've run into one, and they're just disgusting.
Oh, yeah. You just look at them, and you feel dirty.
It makes you want to puke.
Yeah.
They look like a crab or something running across the ceiling or down the wall or something like that.
They can look like that. They can look like cockroaches. They can look like some humanoid with just weirdness all over the place.
Yeah. The one I saw was human.
They want to show you.
Yeah. The one I saw was a human from the torso up,
mm-hmm.
bald, skeletal looking, like he had absolutely no body fat. And he scurried around on, like, pulling himself using his arms up and down walls.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, he was just really in shape.
You would think that, but no, that's not what he looks like at all, at least to me. And actually, after this, I know our listeners are all like, Hat Man, did she say Hat? They're all excited now. So I guess we'll talk about those next. But yeah, the Creeper, I've encountered two of them in extremely haunted places.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've run into one.
Yeah, I like to get rid of them.
Yeah, it's smart. It's kind of like a cockroach. I wish there was a spray.
Yeah. I just like to get rid of them. You know, toy with them for a little bit, then get rid of them.
Can you shoot them with your .22?
No.
Oh,
I wish.
You'd shoot at them.
That'd be a lot quicker. I always try to fight it. Can't imagine why.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just super creepy. Where did you run into them, June?
I ran into in a closet.
In
a closet, in a little boy's closet.
Oh, really? Man.
Oh.
Yeah, they're scaring the kid would not sleep in his bedroom at all. He would go there only in the daylight to grab clothes and get the heck out of there.
Right.
I'm like, you know, they called us in for an investigation, and I'm like, okay, well, let me walk through and see what we got here, and opened up the closet door, and I'm like, really? Mm. It tried to scurry away, but, you know, not happening.
Right.
So did the parents believe the kid telling them that he actually seen things like that?
It was a single mom, and yeah, she believed it. Because she does ghost hunting, too. It actually came home with her.
Oh.
Unfortunately, some people that do that don't take any kind of precautions or protection, and that's what you get.
Huh.
They follow you home like a puppy dog.
Wow. Well, I've never seen anything, you might say, so.
What?
Excuse me? We have audio now, sir.
We have proof.
We have
technology.
No, what I said was I thought I saw something.
No.
He thought he saw a putty tat, but apparently.
Now, I did see the soldiers smoking the cigarettes.
See?
I didn't see the soldiers. I only saw the red ends of the cigarettes as they was.
Well, most people only saw the red ends. So, June, Henry has been like your husband, who has sat there and said, I don't see any ghosts. They never come to me. So this past April, we went, because Henry sounds like a high-pitched woman, apparently.
Really?
Really. But in my improv, I guess you do. But this past April, we went to Gettysburg, and we were actually investigating a barn, a huge barn, which is located and was used as a Confederate field hospital. And Henry, of course, every investigation stated he never saw a ghost. He never sees ghosts. This investigation, he did. And what we witnessed was, and it depended on who was looking, Henry saw the red butts of their cigarettes as they were lifting them to their lips and back down to their laps. I saw full-on apparitions, and other members of our group saw a variety. The variance between those two shadow people, shadow masses, really, and all that. So, and we have in a 15-minute sound clip, Henry talks about seeing this ghost three times.
But I didn't see anything other than just the red cigarette.
That's a lot. That's more than I've ever seen. All of my experiences have been auditory. You've actually seen more than I have.
And yes. The reason I was saying that was I was trying to find out if other people were seeing the same thing.
Because you were seeing it.
Yeah, well, I wanted confirmation.
And rightfully so, because they saw it, you saw it, that means it was there, and you experienced seeing a visual ghost.
How many people were in there? There was...
We had about eight people in there, I think.
Yeah, so eight people saw the exact same phenomenon.
Yeah.
So, we actually have a lot of questions from our chat room. And the first from...
All over now.
Yeah, now they're jumping. They're just like, yes! So, Catter asked, can a shadow person hurt you?
Yes.
Yes.
They can... It depends upon the individual shadow person. Some of them like to, torture you over long periods of time. They can stop your heart. Little things like that. They just, it depends upon their need for, they can, people get that, when there's a shadow person in the house, you have horrible nightmares. You feel like you're drained all the time. You have no energy. You get depressed. You know, that you feel, you go to sleep at night and you feel like you never sleep. You wake up, you know, yeah.
Wow. But yeah, it's, actually, on the Hat Man thing, I've seen a Hat Man too. And I did not realize they were really negative. I just kind of lumped them in with the ghostly shadow masses.
Ah.
But you say they are something to be concerned about?
Yes. And if you have more than one in your house, you really, really need to get somebody in there and get it out. Because, like I said, they don't travel in packs. They travel by themselves because they like their own territory.
Uh-huh. And what happens if, a Hat Man is around? Does it make everyone feel really angry? Does it mess with your emotions?
It does. They can cause anger, despair, jealousy, deep depression, almost manic depression. Health issues start happening. People's health start going downhill. Their whole attitude, they like to create conflict because negative energy feeds them.
You ever threaten you and just say, I'm Hat Man? Oh, wait.
Come on down now.
Oh, the Hat Man I saw, I was walking out of the bathroom, and if I walked down the stairs from the second floor of the house I grew up in when I was younger, I would see him. He didn't show up as anything else. I just saw him as a Hat Man entity. So I just have to, I actually would walk along the wall or the banister to avoid him. Mm-hmm. And then go downstairs. And then I would, when I would have to walk upstairs, I could feel him, but I wouldn't see him, and I would just run as fast as I could up the stairs. Drove my mom nuts.
You're better off not to acknowledge them.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to be there anymore when I visited.
Yeah, if they don't feel it's a good place to create havoc, or they'll leave and go somewhere else, find somewhere else.
My understanding, or one of the theories, was that Hatmen were around in times of crisis, or that they created the crisis.
They create havoc. They create trouble. They're just, you know, it's like they're like a catalyst. Mm-hmm.
Do they? They've also been reported with red eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Uh huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Never seen.
I got another question from the chat room from Cater. Want to know, how did Shadow Person come to be in existence?
It's like, you know, I've asked Michael about that, and he said, the Archangel, and he said what it is, you know, you have different degrees. You have your, what I call the old ones, who are the most powerful demons, and then you have the lesser demons, which are the ones you see mostly in the Earth plane, and you have the minions who do their dirty work. And then you have these shadow guys. They're like the bottom of the barrel. And they are like the dregs of even the negative. They were at one time, you know, they were at one time physical beings, but because they turned to the dark and went up against, in the war between heaven and earth, light and dark, they took sides with the dark. They're like the trailer trash. There we go. Trailer trash of the negative side. Even the demons don't like them.
Wow. Even the demons don't like them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're like beneath them. They're just so much trailer trash.
Huh. That's really interesting. And I know I seem to run into a lot of shadow people, like at Mansfield Reformatory. And they also have doppelganger phenomena happening there.
Yeah, they're drawn by the negative energy and the past happenings in those places like that.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned that you were coming to Alcatraz, and I'm sure that you are aware of the, I don't know what it is, a spirit that is in isolation there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to taking him out.
So you going out on a date? Is that what you're saying?
We're going to have a date, all right, but he's not going to like it.
It's not going to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
They've been there too long. Michael says, they've been there too long. We need to get, there's one down in the laundry room that I need to get rid of because it's very powerful. Then there's one in the isolation, and then there's another one in cell 14 I have to take out.
Wow.
So we're going to have fun.
So do you think that are they manifestations of the atmosphere of prisons, or are they just attracted to it?
They're attracted to it. They're drawn by the pain, the suffering, the anger, the depression. I mean, it's ripe. Mm-hmm. I mean, just come on down, have a feast. They're drawn there.
But they weren't created, or is there a separate group that is actually created by negative emotion?
No, no.
Okay.
They just feed off of it.
Wow.
Yeah, Alcatraz is a place that's very interesting. I imagine the water keeps them pretty much happy. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got all that. And all the tourists that come and go through there.
Oh, yeah. Feeding off of that.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people gets hit or slapped or pinched or whatever there.
That's what I've heard, some of the stories. I've never been there myself, but
there's one person who actually went into the solitary confinement cell, and he just wouldn't stay in there very long. He said somebody was in there with him.
Yeah, I had a friend. I have a friend that's a medium. And he, you know, they put him in cell 14, closed the door, and he turned around and saw a pair of red eyes and heard the growl. And he scared me the heck out of here. He says, I never want to go back there again.
Wow.
I'm like, you're just no fun. Come on. I tried to talk him into going with me, but he wouldn't do it.
Go, huh?
No.
Well, I think what we'll do is we're going to take our last break. And just want to remind people, if you do have questions, you can get them right in to be answered by June. You can send them a private chat to Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, co-host Cat, or myself. We will get those right over to June and get them answered for you. A lot of questions have been coming in tonight. It's a great show. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes. And we're going to... Well, we still have a lot of other questions, but from June's book, Paranormal Encounters, Book 2. And I believe these are like stories that has happened in your life.
And, yeah, they're my real life paranormal encounters. Yeah.
And we're going to talk some about some of those also. So with that, we're going to let, let's see, we're going
that
to let
me.
Jeffrey take us out, and I will bring us back, or I'll get Kat to do it. One of the two. So go ahead.
Yep. Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Kat Kloko, Ceiling Cat Barger Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's returning guest, author and psychic medium and animal communicator, June Lundgren. So stay tuned for more Paranormal View after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
Ha ha ha!
at Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
But it's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They all talk gobbledygooky, the Para-X family. The shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal, the Para-X family.
They're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous, as we give awards to the Para-X family.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for dropping in tonight and joining us. We've got a great show going on, a great guest. And tonight I got with us Kat Kloko.
Hi.
Barbara Duncan.
Hello.
Jeffrey Gould.
Hello.
And a very special guest, June Lundgren.
Hello.
And Barbara, we don't just have listeners in the chat room. We have them from all over the place, don't we?
Yeah, including Cheyenne, Wyoming. Yeah.
Cheyenne?
I don't know why. we have listeners tonight, folks, from the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Singapore, Germany, the Netherlands, and Unknown is back.
Woo-hoo.
The Unknown. The dark side of the moon.
Yeah, funny point on the Wyoming thing. Last week, all our stats would just say is, Wyoming. Like, what, the entire population of Wyoming was listening to us? So, thank you, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Yes.
Yes, we play now, very popular in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
I know we still got tons of questions from everybody. I know Barbara's, you've got some still. Kat's got some still. But we was also going to talk some about some of your personal encounters that you've had that you've got in your book. I thought one of the interesting ones was the Danger Will Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you tell us that story?
My son was about 4 years old. And he had a fascination for robots. And so, especially the B9 robot from Lost in Space. He just loved all the kind, you know, the one from Forbidden Planet, Robbie the Robot, all those. So I bought him. He had several of them on the shelf. And one of them was a remote control, wired remote control. And one night, it went off. And what it says is, danger, danger, Will Robinson. That's one of its sayings. And I'm like, what? So I go into his room and he's sleeping because I thought maybe he's up and awake and playing with it. And he wasn't. And I'm like, oh, well, this must have been a fluke. And a few hours later, it happened again. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe it's got a short, so I'm just going to take the battery out of it. So that it can't do that again. And it was quiet for a few days or so. And then same thing happened one night. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe the batteries, my son put the batteries back in. And looked, and they were still taken out of it. And it didn't go off again. So I just kind of let it ride. And then he told me that the next day that it had gone off several times. And he was kind of scared about it. And I'm like, okay, so if he didn't do it, and I know nothing negative could make it in, but it's like, who's messing with it? So it did it again one night, and I talked, and it was my grandfather, and he's the one my son's named for. And I'm like, what are you doing? You need to stop doing that because you're scaring the heck out of the kid. And he doesn't like it, and I don't like it that he's scared. He says, well, I just needed to tell you something. And I'm like, well, why didn't you just knock on the door or something, say something? And he says, you need to not leave, you know, on time tomorrow. You need to leave 5 minutes later, because I always drove my son to school. And I'm like, why? And he says, I can't tell you. And I'm like, okay, fine. So, you know, because they're not allowed to tell us when we're going to, you know, you're going to die in this accident, or you're going to have an accident, and so you need to not go this. They can't tell you that, but they can delay your departure. They can, you know, tell you you need to leave earlier or later or whatever. But he, you know, he kept at it and kept bugging me. And finally I told him I'm just going to take the thing and put it up in a box somewhere. So finally he stopped doing it. But ever after that, my son wouldn't play with it. He didn't like anything about it after that. But I still have it in a box somewhere.
Still have it in a box somewhere, huh?
Yeah, put away.
Well, that brings me to one of my questions, which is about the paranormal and ability to communicate through electronic devices or transmit through electronic devices such as cell phones, computers, pretty much anything at this point.
Electronic.
Do they have that ability, and can they actually enter a home through technology?
They do have the ability, and I have actually heard it happen of, you know, somebody being on the phone with somebody and the negative ending up at the person's on the other end of the phone. And I know, I know that can happen, because every now and then I'll get a phone call from someone who's like on the other side of the United States or whatever to remove a negative. And as long as I keep get them on the phone and keep the connection open, then I can move through the connection via the phone to remove it. So I know that they can travel that way. It's not very often. And they have to be pretty advanced for that.
So it's sort of like those TV shows where they have to keep them on the line so they can get a trace.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. If it's a lesser, what I call a lesser demon, something like that, then it makes it easier to remove it from a distance. If it was one of the old ones, you know, I have to be physically there to remove it.
See, now that's interesting you use that terminology. I'm sorry, what was that?
It wasn't me.
Did you hear it, though?
Yeah, that sounded like an audio hiccup.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Oh, we're really going to have to check that on the playback. That sounded very, very weird.
Kind of sounded like a sneeze, but not.
Right. Yeah. It was like something whizzed by or something. Yeah. At any rate, ironically, as I was about to ask, considering you use the term old ones and lesser demons, that sounds very Lovecraftian.
Oh, does it? I have no idea. I don't even know what that is.
H.P. Lovecraft was a very famous writer in the 1920s that wrote a series of short stories and novellas, really, that a lot of other authors picked up on, like Stephen King and Robert Bloch and such, called the Cthulhu Mythos. And the premise of his stories was that the Earth was inhabited by these massive life form demonic creatures that were somehow banished and have been looking for a way back in for eons. And Cthulhu is one of the largest elder gods. And if you do any look up on H.P. Lovecraft, you'll see all sorts of information on it. A lot of them, they're very generally they're like a hybrid of human and fish life, because Lovecraft was ichthyophobe. He was fish and sea life scared him. And so that's what he wrote, that stuff that really scared him. And he's got a huge following, even after all these, coming on 100 years that he's,
Especially since he lived in Rhode Island, everyone here knows him.
In fact, on his tombstone says, "I am Providence."
Well, you know, I call him that because that's what Michael calls him, the Archangel. He calls him the Old Ones. The Archangels are. They're as powerful, and they're like, you know, right up there with Lucifer. And the thing is that they've been around. They rarely bother us down here because we're not worth their time. The lesser, what I call the lesser demons, are the ones that you'll find most prevalent in trying to get into the physical world. And they usually do it through a dark portal. And the dark portals are a pain in the rear. But
that really came out weird.
Yeah,
that
interesting
phrasing.
Yeah, and there's three different ways that dark portals can get made, correct?
Right.
What were those three ways, if you don't mind explaining it to our listeners?
There are ones that the actual negatives, the demons, create, and they create them out of dark, what they call dark energy, and that's one way. But they have to be able to affix it somewhere, so they have to find a weak spot. And where there's been a lot of negative energy, you know, somewhere where it's easy for them to slip in through that. So that's one way. The other way is it can be a branched off of a white light portal. I liken it to, you know, the old shears they used to use in the 60s, 50s and 60s, where they were very thin and they would get runs in them, snags. And that's what happens. These things, the negatives, work at it until they can get a snag in it and a hole big enough so that they can create a dark portal and attach it to the white light portal and work their way through. And that's how they create those. And the third way is they're naturally occurring dark portals, where there's a whole lot of, where there's a big vortex or a lot of negative energy. Like, there's several dark portals near the Devil's Triangle.
Hmm. Now,
so the question from the chat room is, can a person be a portal?
They cannot. They physically cannot be a portal, but they can open a portal and bring it through. Bring something through, of course. But the physical body cannot be a portal. It's like you can channel somebody, but they can't like come into our world through your body.
Well, now I know or suspect, or a lot of people do, that there are other worlds out there where there's life on them.
Oh yeah.
They have the same type of beings, shadow people and all those entities on those also?
Each one is a little bit different, but I'll tell you the way that they explained it to me. Michael says, I'd have to explain to you what happened in the beginning for you to understand what the whole concept is all about. And he says, what happened is we lived in another galaxy and we had physical bodies. And we were just like humans almost, but different, you know, but they had physical bodies and they evolved past the physical body into pure energy. And it happened over time. And from what Michael says is they had to wait for everyone to evolve before they could move on. So what happened was they waited for everybody to evolve into pure energy. Once that happened, they traveled as a group. Some people say, you know, one consciousness, collective consciousness, through, you know, the known and the unknown galaxies, just exploring, seeing everything that could be seen, and, you know, visiting planets and looking at you know, the civilizations and things like that until they got sick and tired of doing it. And they said, we really would like to have a body again. We'd like to have children. We'd like to feel, you know, what it's like to have a child, to hug, you know, love, that sort of thing, to have a physical body. You know, we're willing to accept the fact that, you know, we're going to get old, we're going to have pain, you know, but it's worth it. So that's where the division arose between, you know, heaven and hell, dark and light. And, you know, Lucifer and his followers said, no way, we're not doing it. We do not want to be, you know, trapped in a physical body. We do not want to be subject to getting old, having pain, getting disease. We just don't want to do it. It's not happening. So that's where the fight began. And when it was over, you know, Michael disarmed Lucifer and Ariel disarmed his son. And God told him, and says, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. You're never going to be able to take human form, physical form. He says, you can, I'm giving it to you. You're not going to do it. But I'm also going to cast you into darkness and, you know, let the darkness be your cover. And they said, you know, at the time, they said, yeah, great. We don't care. You know, we just don't want to be, you know, in a human body or in a physical body. So over the course of the centuries, they got madder and they grew to hate the people with the physical bodies, because they knew that inside them were the souls of light that had turned against them. So that's what their big drama is all about. They want payback for having to be there. Hmm. Even though they don't want the physical body, they still got mad at us, and they want to cause as much trouble and strife and, you know, negative energy as they can.
Stupid physical bodies.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of physical bodies, can we talk a little bit about walk-ins?
Oh, yeah.
And the difference between a walk-in, a mediumistic channel, or a possession.
Okay. So my way of thinking is if you have somebody that's a walk-in, what I was told by Michael is that they have to have permission to do, is when like say one soul says, you know, that's it, I've had it, I'm sick and tired of being down here, but it's not my time to leave yet. So that person, that soul has to get permission from God and has to find somebody who's willing to take its place in the physical body. That doesn't happen very often. It's just hardly happens at all. And that's why you get people who suffer from amnesia and their whole personality changes just like, you know, just overnight. Like they're a totally different person.
Essentially, they're just getting someone to cover them at work.
Yeah, you're getting somebody to cover. But that's why I said there has to be an exchange and they have to agree, and it has to be somebody of the same sex. You can't have a female come into a male body because it just doesn't work well.
Hmm. Wow.
And then you
Why
have,
doesn't it work well?
Because they suddenly change characteristics. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's not, I guess it's like somebody coming out of the closet per se, whatever, okay, where they, you know, they would change totally, drastically. It would not be the same. That's what Michael says about the walk-ins. And, you know, there's people that channel, open channel, like Edgar Casey. Mm-hmm. You know, he channeled people. I don't consider that a walk-in. I just consider that channeling.
So channeling, where they actually do, well, they do use the vocal cords, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, even characteristics of the... it changes, yeah, it all changes. Mm-hmm.
But those would be spirits, those would be more angelic spirits doing that, correct?
Not always angelic. Okay. It can be negative too.
Okay.
That's why open channeling is so dangerous.
Okay.
Guarded channeling is a whole different thing.
What type of channeling?
Guarded.
Guarded.
I had, when you're guarded, I had an episode where my guides told me, you need to go to the Body, Mind, Spirit Expo because you have a message to deliver to somebody. And I'm like, really? You're not going to tell me who? And they're like, you know when you see him. And I'm like, oh, him? Is it a male? And they're like, yes, it's a male. And I'm like, okay. So I drug my sister-in-law with me. I said, come on, we have to go and deliver a message. So I'm slowly making my way around the room. And I come to this table. And hear my sister, who's one of my guides, say, that's the one, that's the one. I'm like, fine. So I said, listen, I get this message for you. And the next thing I know, I am like, my sister-in-law was just like, she says, it was like your whole face changed. You weren't you anymore. And your voice wasn't yours anymore. And you were telling this guy, you know, that everything's going to be all right, that his legal problems are going to be over and he's not going to have to go to jail and blah, blah, blah. And then she left. And I'm like, oh, don't you ever do that to me again. And I said, and tell your mother never to jump somebody like that again. I hate that. I wasn't expecting it, so I wasn't guarded.
Had the Whoopi Goldberg routine going there.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Okay, I got a question from Nylon. She wanted to know, is it our physical mind asking for that swap out or spirit that
it's
we don't recognize?
It's a spirit.
It's a spirit.
The soul that asked for it.
Okay, and then she was saying, do we consciously ask to swap out or does a spirit ask for that?
The soul asks for it. A lot of people don't, people, when you sleep at night, sometimes you astral project, your soul can leave for short periods of time. And that's when it goes and asks for, you know, to find somebody for the swap out. But, you know, people with Alzheimer's, you know, their soul leaves the body when in advanced Alzheimer's. And I've seen, I work internal medicine, I've seen it time and again, where they'll have, you know, they'll can't even raise their leg or, you know, get up without somebody actually telling them what to do and how to do it. And then they have the moments of absolute clarity. And that's when the soul comes back in. So it slips in and out. The body can survive for a little while.
Wow.
It's kind of like putting you on autopilot. You know?
Well, that begs the question about patients with very little brain activity or comatose patients where there's probably not going to be any recovery on that. Is the soul trapped in the body at that point?
I'll give you an instance. I had a friend down in L.A., and she got a hold of me and she said, you know, my niece was in a terrible, terrible car accident in Florida. It was raining really badly and her Jeep went under a semi. And she's in the hospital. She's an EMT and she's in a coma and there's very, very little brain activity, minimal brain activity. She says, I need to find out if she's, you know, if her soul has gone or not, if she's ever going to recover. And I said, okay, I do distance healing through a meditative state. And I told her, I said, just before you go to bed tonight, I said, tell yourself you're coming to my sanctuary and then just come. So she came and we left and went to where the body was. And I told her, I said, the soul's not in the body. I said, well, you need to go back to the sanctuary. So we went back to my sanctuary. And I said, I want you to call her to you. I said, we'll never find her just trying to look. I said, you need to call her to you. And so she sat down and called her. And then she walked in. And I told her, I said, why did you leave your body? I said, it's not your time to go. And she said, you know, I couldn't stand the pain. I just can't stand the pain. I don't know if I'll ever want to go back in my body. And I told her, I said, stop and think about it. I said, you're an EMT. You should know that you're going to have pain and that's just the way it is. Do you want to leave your newly wed husband? Do you want to never have children with him? Do you want to end that life? I said, if you do, then, you know, cross. Don't be hanging around here on Earth. Cross. And she decided that she wanted to go back. I said, you know what that's going to entail? And she said, yeah, I know. And so she says, how do I do it? I said, all you have to do is lay down where your body is. You'll be back. And she woke up the next morning.
Wow.
So I'm going to have to look it up. I actually saw a movie that actually dealt with walk-ins and did it correctly. And I have to look at, try and find it. What was interesting was it starred Marina Sirtis.
Yeah.
So is that considered soul retrieval, what you just did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Monroe Institute, it has a big thing where they're doing a lot of soul retrievals. And soul, they do where they guide them to the other side. They're just lost and wandering around. And so they use the meditative state to guide them where they need to go.
Now, are you familiar with the, it's almost Castaneda type of belief that people can take parts of your soul?
The Indians believe that you can give, some of their cultures believe that you can give pieces of your soul, or people take pieces of your soul, like say your ex-husband has a piece of your soul, you know, but you can draw those back. Everybody gives a piece of themselves to somebody, but you can draw back that energy. They don't, you know, it doesn't have to stay gone. You can pull it back. You know, that's where people go wrong, is they feel that it's gone and they can't do anything about it, but they can pull it back. It's easy enough to do if you really want to do it. I have a white light protection thing that I do. And over the years, I built it up in such of a way that if someone's in trouble and they need protection, I can take a piece of my protective energy and send it to them and encase them in it for as long as it's needed. And then I draw it back when they're done with it.
And does that include, now, what would you do in situations where you think the person's kind of like a psychic vampire?
Those guys are. You know, the best way to ward off a psychic vampire is just, you know, picture yourself, have a good protection. I have a white light. I call it a force field because it keeps moving. It can grow. I can send pieces of it wherever I want to. It's a good protection. But, you know, I ran across somebody the other day that called me and I said, listen, just picture yourself surrounded by a bunch of mirrors and all facing outwards. And anything, any energy, negative energy is that's towards you gets bounced off and reflected to back to the person who actually is sending it your way. I said, if you're around somebody who, whenever you're around them, you feel like you've been drugged through a knot hole backwards, I said, that person is taking your energy, whether they know it or not. I said, so that's what you need to start doing in order to protect yourself.
So there's kind of a difference between taking energy and just projecting out kind of hatred, right?
Yeah. I met a woman one time that just like, it's like, really? She like loved being miserable. She loved being negative and she just like wallowed in it. And I'm like, really? My friend's like, you know, I want you to meet somebody. And I said, well, do you ever feel like you're like totally drained when you get through talking to this woman? They're like, yeah. I'm like, really? Is it because she's sucking energy out of you? She's like, no wonder I always felt like I've been run over by a train. I'm like, yeah, there you go.
Wow. Well, Kat, you got more questions also?
Not necessarily on this topic. I'm sorry I've had to keep so quiet. There's a lot of motorcyclists out tonight, and they just thunder past my house, and everyone can hear them on their hogs. And then they send off the car alarms, and it's just a cycle that goes off once every 5 minutes. So, it's... We've talked about walk-ins. I'm going to... Oh, okay. This is jumping. I'm sorry, everyone. We're jumping to a different subject. Graveyard encounters. Now, I've run into a lot of different opinions, and I was interested in yours especially. that cemeteries have a lot of spiritual traffic.
Not, they don't really have that much traffic. My problem is I don't visit graveyards because when I do, it's like a light going off and everybody comes. In the first book I wrote, Paranormal Encounters, I talk about my sister-in-law talked me into going on this Halloween, you know, ghost walk thing. And I'm like, because she really wanted to go. I said, okay, I'll go with you. As long as there's no graveyards, you know, with this. No, we're just supposed to be like walking through the old part of the town and somebody's talking about it. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So we get down there and we can't find anybody and we can't find where we're supposed to be. And we go inside and we say, you know, where is it supposed to be? And this lady says, oh, you got to get on that bus. I'm like, oh, okay, there's a mini bus out there. So it's like standing room only. So we get on the bus, we're waiting. Then finally we, you know, they're driving and we get, where do we go? We go to the Pioneer Graveyard. And I'm like, my sister-in-law's just laughing. I'm like, she's like, I said, I told you I didn't like graveyards. And he's like, well, we're here now, so we'll just stay. And I'm like, you don't understand. I said, there's like about 30 ghosts here coming at me. I said, I'd not have it.
It wasn't like they were, you know, saying brains or anything. I mean,
yeah, it's like, you know, they're saying like, help me. And I'm like,
they're far more annoying.
You know, I know. I told her, I said, okay, I have to do this telepathically so people won't think I'm crazy. I said, so just kind of stand off to the side there. And so I decided, how many of you want to get messages to your loved ones? And just about everybody raised their hand. I'm like, okay, put your hands down. I don't do messages. I said, no. For one thing, I don't even know where they live. You'd have to have a phone number and everything for me. So you might as well hang that up. I said, how many of you want to cross? And all but one raised their hand. I'm like, okay, let me help you cross. So my sister-in-law is like, is there somebody standing by me? And I said, yeah, there are several somebody standing by you. He says, I'm so cold. I'm like, hey, you wanted to go to the graveyard. Here you go. So the one guy didn't leave. And she's like, who's the one still standing by me? And I said, it's a guy who's still stuck in his death state. He's stuck in his death state because he was on his way to meet his mistress, to put it nicely. And he's a Catholic, and he can't go to heaven because he was cheating on his wife. He was committing an adultery. Mm-hmm. He was right in the process of it when he was killed in a car accident. And I'm like, you know, he had a briefcase, blood just all down him. His neck was snapped. You know, I'm like, ew. Like, you know, you just need to get out of your death state and move on. And then he told me what happened, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Just move on. It's over. You'll have to answer for what you did. I said, but you have to just move on. And he wouldn't move on. And my sister-in-law's like, can you just make him go away from me? I'm too cold. I'm like, fine, come over here and stand by me. But, you know, which is fine. I mean, he eventually did contact me again, and I helped him to cross. But I was coming from getting my nails done, and I hear this little voice say, come to the graveyard. And I'm like, no, I don't do graveyards. So he's like, come to the graveyard. So I'm like, fine. So I go to the graveyard. I park in the old section of it because it's a Pioneer graveyard. And I'm taking pictures because here's these buck and does walking through the graveyard. It's cool. So I'm snapping pictures. He's like, no, over here. Take my picture. So I'm like, fine. So I turn around and I snap his picture with my a cell phone, and they drained my battery, and he's laughing. And so when I looked later at the picture, you can see it's on my Facebook one. I think it's under the Paranormal Encounters one, but you can see Edward. His name is Edward, and you can see a picture of him there. I got a picture of him in the graveyard. Unfortunately, I work right in front of the graveyard.
Oh.
But they know better than to mess with me when I'm at work.
Well, now, do you think that graveyards has that many spirits? I mean, when people die, say they're in a hospital and they die, the spirit leaves the body. Doesn't it go somewhere else? It doesn't necessarily stay with the body all the way to the graveyard, does it?
No. A lot of times when I worked hospital work, that's why I don't work hospital work anymore. They would, you know, they would get, some of them would be confused. They would look down and see their body and they would be confused. And I'm like, just look for the light and head on down. Most of them were pretty much not wanting to stay. They didn't care. They just wanted to go to the light. But every now and then you'd have one that didn't want to go. They wanted their family there first before they did anything. But for the most part, they don't stick with their body unless, you know, you do something they don't want you to do. Like, say they wanted to be buried and not cremated, then they're pissed off.
Right.
Then they won't leave.
They're just the opposite of being burned up.
Yeah. If you know, back east, you know, where all the Civil War and stuff, I mean, you know, the ground, people died there, you know. And so, you know, where they fell, a lot of times they fell in battle, and it was so traumatic that they just stay put.
And smoke cigars and cigarettes and let hi to Harry. Henry.
Yeah.
and continue the battle.
Yeah.
Barbara, you got another one?
Well, I was just going to comment that I take a lot of cemetery photos because I'm usually there taking cemetery photos, and not so much as an orb.
Comes in handy that way.
Yeah, they really don't hang out that much unless, you know, like I said, if they know I'm coming or they find a way to make me come, they'll be there. I always have a friend that lives in Canton, Connecticut, right outside of Hartford. And I went back to visit her about 5 years ago, and she's like, I want you to come to this graveyard. Delicious. I don't go to this graveyard. But she made me go to the graveyards. So that was interesting. Tell me what you see. I'm like, So we spent an hour in the graveyard. I said, can we go now? And it was, of course, the graveyard was right by a running creek.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that'll do it.
So needless to say, there's a lot of energy there.
Wow.
And it's amazing with all the wildlife that seems to go. I know some of the deer are usually there to eat the flowers, but there seems to be a lot of wildlife that don't mind it.
No,
and I figure just, if they're fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if they thought it was a threat or if there was something negative, they would be out of there in a heartbeat because they know, they can sense that. So if they're all over the place in the graveyard, you're good.
All right. So graveyards is a pretty safe place, pretty much. I don't think too much is going to be bothering you in a graveyard. I wouldn't go at night, but...
Never had a problem.
I've never had a problem at night.
Well, I'm not talking about spiritual-wise.
Yeah.
We're talking about the living.
Yes.
The living. Yeah, the living.
Yeah.
The fact that there's potholes, divots,
But
my grandma always said, it's not the dead ones you got to worry about, it's the live ones.
Yeah.
Now, Henry, remember, Bigfoot does stalk the graveyards of Cincinnati in the areas around it. Our friend Jody Cook has that photo.
I have not.
That was Henry remembering the photo.
I have not seen Bigfoot either.
Well, he is the world champion, hide and seek champion.
Yes, he is.
I did see Jody Cook last weekend though for a little bit, and we'll probably be getting him scheduled to be back on here before long.
That'd be awesome. He has a fantastic photo of what is a Bigfoot that is also a redhead, just like me.
Oh.
And I looked at it. I'm like, hey, I have a photo of my uncle.
Well, my other question for you, June, before we run out of time here, is can you or do you pick up energy from, say, trees or the ocean? Does it have a personality, and does it have anything to say?
It has energy, not necessarily personality as you and I would define personality. But they know when they're being attacked, you know, being cut down. I mean, I was going through a clear cut area down towards our coast after a fresh clear cut, and I could just feel the depression, and there were crying out. So.
Oh, yeah.
Like the outskirts of Fangorn.
So they do have feelings, and I won't say a spirit, but I guess they're a living thing, so they got to have energy.
Yeah, they have very sensitive energy, and they know when it's kind of like a dog. You know, they have the energy, they have the wherewithal to know that this is wrong, that they're in pain, and that they don't like what's going on. But they don't really communicate with me if they can help it. They don't like humans too much.
Well, if any one out there in the chat room or out from somewhere else has a question, you still got a couple minutes to get it over to us so we can get it answered. Private chat, either Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, co-host Cat, or myself, will try and get those answered for you. Maybe we can do another one of your stories that, if it's kind of a quick one. One of them was called The House of Mystery.
That's the one in Gold Hill, Oregon. That's the
Vortex.
It's called the Oregon Vortex.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll do a different one then, since we already talked about that. Well, you had two of them, House of Mystery, and then you had the Ghostly Vortex. Was both those the same?
No. One was about, there was a friend of mine who had moved into a house, and she kept feeling like there was somebody watching her, some things watching her, and she couldn't shake it, and she kept having like a lot of negative things happen to her and stuff. And she called me and said, you know, you really need to come over here because something's not right. And I'm like, okay, I'll come over. So I went over to her house, and then the minute I pull up in the driveway, I'm like, oh man, there was a dark portal located. I said, do you have a closet? I didn't even go in. I said, do you have a closet on the inside of your door to the right? And she says, yeah. I said, do you have anything in that closet? She said, no. She said, I just don't put anything in there. She said, I don't even want to open that closet. I said, that's where the dark portal is. So that's why you're having these negatives coming and going like a revolving door. I said, we need to seal it. So Michael and I sealed the dark portal there. He says, that was my first sealing of a dark portal. And he's like, I'm going to show you how it's done. He says, you need to do it with me. Just do what I say. And I'm like, okay. So I'd never sealed the dark portal before, because he said that usually only archangels can do it. Only archangels can get rid of them, but a mortal with the right power, you know, the right abilities, can seal them but not get rid of them. So he actually ended up getting rid of it, and she never had any problems after that. But it's like I had never encountered a dark portal before, and that was my first one, and unfortunately not my last one.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah. We got a question from chat room, Kat.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Tater asks, is there a way to protect ourselves from the shadow person?
Yeah. Black salt.
Ooh.
Black salt.
Exclusively available through June. Oh, wait, no.
actually, I do make it, but the black salt, my black salt is not the traditional black salt. Everything that's put in this, which is charcoal, sandalwood, white sage, sweetgrass, Dead Sea salt that's been unrefined. Each step of the process is soaked in holy water and left to dry in the sun. Mm-hmm. And it's blessed by God through each step until the final creation of it. And then he puts his blessing on it. And but as for shadow people, just, you know, keep positive. You know, keep a white light energy around your home, yourself and your home. You can put salt around it. You can ask for God's blessing upon your home and your land, and just take some salt and go around the entire perimeter of the property and make sure that you overlap it from where you started, and ask that no negative energy or entity be allowed to pass this line. That should help with most negative things. It won't help with the demons and stuff, but it will help with, you know, earthbounds and things like that. Shadow people will have a tendency not to want to bother with you because it knows that you know something.
All right. Okay. Our time has dwindled right on down. What I want you to do, June, is I want you to give out all your sites, locations, what you do, books that you got, and just give out everything.
Okay. My website is Mystic Connections, one word, M-Y-S-T-I-C, connections.org. Or you can find me on Facebook, June Lundgren. And I have the Medium's Guide to the Paranormal. And I have Paranormal Encounters, and then Paranormal Encounters Book 2, and The Dark Side of the Paranormal. And I'm about to release next week a paranormal romance called Out of Time, O-U-T-T-A, Time. It will be, they're all available in print and as an ebook.
And if somebody wanted to get a reading or something like that from you?
They can contact me through my website. There's a contact form there, and I usually answer within 24 hours.
All right. Excellent. Now, we're going to give out all of our stuff here in just a second, but I want you to stay on until after we're off.
Okay.
And we'll talk with you for a few minutes.
June, they can get your books through Amazon and?
Amazon, Smashwords, anywhere printed books are sold online, they can get them. Barnes & Noble.
All right. Jeff?
Yep, you can go to my website, which is jeffgould.net, jeffgould.net/2011pnv.htm. That's my Paranormal View hub page where you can see previous shows and the embedded recorded podcasts of our live shows. If you go to each respective show, you'll get information on synopsis of each show, who we talked about, links to all of June's. For instance, tonight's show, I'll have links to June's site or Facebook or Twitter. Also, her four books. And when the out-of-time information comes in, I'll add that to the page. And to Facebook, just do a search for The Paranormal View. There we are. We're the community, not magazine. Please like our page. I post interesting things throughout the week. And yeah, you can follow me at Twitter at Real Badger, R-E-A-L-B-A-D-G-E-R. I try and be funny all week.
Yes, he does.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, everyone. First, you can find our podcast on iTunes. Just look for us in the podcast sections. Please subscribe and write a review so other people like you can find this wonderful show. I will be at the Ocean State Paracon this July 16th and 17th at the Assembly Theater in Harrisville, Rhode Island. Some of the guests will include our friend Rosalind Bowne, Tim Weisberg, Keith and Sandra Johnson, Dustin Perry, Amy Bruni, plus many more. And it is $10 per day, $15 for the weekend, $5 for kids. You can follow me at my webcomic, jinxedcomic.com. You can follow me on Twitter at jinxedcomic. And I hope everyone has a splendid week.
All right. That was very good.
Thank you. Oh, and you can follow us on Twitter at Paraview Radio.
Yes, you can. We have lots of good stuff. Next week, we have
Do you want some ice cream there, Henry?
No, I'm going to have cake after the show.
Yay!
we have Sue and Scott Ramsey going to be on with their book, The Aztec UFO Incident. And we're not talking about the Aztec people. We're talking about a UFO that crashed near the town of Aztec, New Mexico. And this happened like 6 or 7 months after the Roswell incident. So ought to be a great show with that for next week. We do want everybody to come back and for that show. We do want to thank June for taking the time to be with us tonight. Really appreciate it. And let's see, you guys got anything else before we jump off? No.
That's a no.
That's what I thought. Barbara?
Nope.
You was awful quiet.
Yeah.
You didn't tell everybody how to find you.
Well, you can find me on the Paranormal View. And me and my camera will be visiting a cemetery near you.
Yes. Sometime. And she does excellent pictures up all the time on Facebook. And yes. you can find her on Facebook through the Paranormal View. Yes. So with that, this is Henry Foister.
Jeffrey Gould.
Barbara Duncan.
And Kat Klocko.
And we are going to say goodnight to everybody. Had a great, great time. So thanks for taking time to listen. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.